Dr. Sam Alibrando is the author of The Three Dimensions of Emotions, Finding the Balance of Power, Heart, and Mindfulness in All Your Relationships. Welcome, Dr. Sam.
Nice to be here.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. What a book. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I am trained as a psychologist, and I've been practicing for, okay, hold my breath, 35 years. I hate that coming out of my mouth. It dates me. And I do both. I have a clinical practice in sunny California, which isn't so sunny these days, thank goodness. And I also do business consulting. So I do organizational consulting that takes me all over the world. In fact, I almost was going to, I'm going to be coming out to your end of the neighborhood in a couple months to work in Calgary.
Wonderful.
And I leave in 10 days for India. So it's exciting.
You really go all the way around the world. What led you to write The Three Dimensions of Emotions?
Oh, that goes all the way back to that 35 years. When I was in my first master's degree, I came across the work of a woman named Karen Horney. I don't know if your listeners ever heard of her. She's a psychoanalyst who came to the United States back at a time when she was escaping Nazism was starting to become prominent. So she came across. She wrote about a half a dozen books, all of which are still in print, which is a testimony to her. But the one in particular was a book called Our Inner Conflicts. And in that book, she says there's three ways we resolve our inner conflicts. We either do it by moving against people, moving toward people, or moving away from people. And when I heard that, I loved how simple that was, and yet it still seemed to explain the different ways we can interpersonally move. And so I played around with that and used it in therapy and used it when I started doing workshops. And then I came across in my doctoral program a guy named Wilford Bion, and he says we connect to other people through love, hate, or knowing. And I said, wait a minute, I know somebody else who has three things. And I realized, independent of each other, asking a different question, they were basically talking about the same thing. Power is what he called hate, and heart is what he called love, or moving toward, I'm sorry. And then moving away, in order to know something, you have to be able to move away. So that was the birth of what I called the interpersonal triangle, and later on realized that it really is the three dimensions. Just like we have a physical world of height, width, and depth, we have we have these three dimensions of the interpersonal world, where power, and the book, I call it red. I use colors to code the three dimensions. So red is the power dimension. That's about agency. That's about having control over our life. That's being able to set boundaries with people in the good ways. And in the bad ways, it's about being a bully and projecting blame and those kind of things. And then the heart dimension I call blue, the three primary colors, the three primary ways we move. And so that heart has to do with our focus on other people. Both taking care of them and empathizing with them and joining them and also needing them. And then the negatives of that is what we call codependency, where we become weak or we enable other people. And then the last is, but I certainly say not the least, is the yellow, which is the moving away. Today we call it mindfulness. And that's the ability that seems to be pretty unique to Homo sapiens. And that's the ability to take a step back and look at things objectively and control our emotions. And the negative of that is people who become too detached, who are cut off from emotions, or they cut off from people. So those are the three dimensions, and each one can be positive or negative.
So, and we can work through all three. We can start in one spot and kind of move around.
Yes, yes. We are all three. And some of us do some better than others. It's not a personality theory. It's a way of describing how we relationally move. But we tend to relate to certain people certain ways. For example, when I'm with my wife, I tend to be a little more in the moving against. And yet, if I get around an alpha male, I tend to be more moving toward. So we kind of change depending on our situation.
Okay. How do you manage a difficult person, somebody who irritates you right off? Is that the alpha male?
Uh, that could be. I mean, an alpha male is a person who's very powerful, right? And they know they're powerful and they yield their power type of thing. But that's a great question. Here's my canned response to that, because I do workshops on managing difficult people, both whether that's for businesses, I do that workshop, and I also do it for couples, for example, but because our spouse is always the difficult person, aren't they?
the most challenging.
But here's my three principles of managing a difficult person. The first principle of managing a difficult person is manage yourself first. The second principle is manage yourself first. And the third principle is, yes, you guessed it, manage yourself first.
Got it. Yellow.
Because if we're managing ourselves, then they're less of a difficult person, and we are in the best position to handle them. But there's specifics, of course, that we can talk about if you'd like. But well, for example, if you may, let's say a person's aggressive. If their difficult person is in the difficult is in the red dimension, right? So they're being aggressive or they're being controlling. A lot then depends how we react to that, because very often we're going to react. So we're going to react one of three ways, right? We're going to react aggressively back, and then we get into a blowout fight. Or we react blue, and that means we acquiesce. We cave in. We give in to whatever that other person wants. Or we do yellow, which is we detach emotionally and go offline. The healthy reaction is going to be the blend of all three positive. So very often, I would say you move against the moving against. So you give them an I statement and say, it's very hard to listen to you right now because you're being so pushy. I would really like to hear what you want to have to say, but I'm finding myself having a very difficult time doing that because you're being so pushy, for example. So you can kind of give them an I statement back is one way you can handle a difficult person.
Okay. And so you teach leadership classes on how leaders can lead people through these things and create healthier teams.
Yes. And the way that I do that is I have everyone take this little inventory that I developed, which all your listeners can take for free if they want. All they have to do is go to my book website, and it's there. Everybody has a particular kind of pattern or blend of how they react. And so I help the leaders identify the areas that they need to strengthen to bring themselves in the balance, because the key for an emotionally intelligent person, and particularly an emotionally intelligent leader, is to fire on all three positive colors. And so we would want, as a leader, we want someone who is confident, takes charge, can tell the truth about things, but at the same time is kind and fair and listens well, and at the same time is measured, which is the yellow, which is they're emotionally steady, they're not reactive, they're stable, for example, and they can think through a problem rather than react to one. So we want leaders who do all three in the positive, and most of us fall apart when we get triggered, right? We're going to have a weakness in one of the three. And so I help leaders identify what that area is and then come up with some strategies on how they can strengthen that area. And when they do that, they go into more of a balanced, And the nice thing about this is this is all supported by a lot of empirical research. That's always nice to know. So it's not just theoretical. It's actually borne out.
Dr. Alibrando, have you come up against people that you just couldn't move to higher places that you couldn't make or help get to more manageable states?
Have I?
As a psychologist, yeah. Are some people unmovable out of the negative ways?
Well, yes, that reminds me of the joke. How many psychologists is to take the chance of a light bulb. Mm-hmm. Just one, but the light bulb has to want to change.
Right.
That's actually true. There are some people, for whatever reason, whether they're too black and white or they're too, if you may, emotionally immature or they're too stubborn, they're not going to change. One of the more important attributes of a growing person is, one, their self-awareness and their willingness to take an honest look at themselves and admit if they're wrong, and also be able to do that in a way that doesn't cripple them by shame or guilt. So some people just aren't able to do that or aren't willing to do that. And in those cases, you either have to make it kind of practical for them, and or you just have to just acknowledge it, that you can't help them change if they don't want to.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue talking to Dr. Sam Alibrando.